differently each time. And tonight we were focusing on salvation. Instead of healing, but we managed to pray for some of you who have different ailments. But every time as we come to God, remember that even as we sin in God's presence, His miracles continue to take place. And as we hear the Word and open our hearts to the Word, His miracle continue to take place. Whatever areas of need, whether it be in our spirits, in our souls, or in our bodies, His miracle continue to take place in our life. Amen. Because Jesus is here. He is here in our midst. Though we cannot physically touch Him and contact Him, but He is here tonight to confirm His Word, with signs following. We're in the book of Jude tonight. Such a joy to reach the ending. Praise the Lord. Next week is Revelation, the last book. And then after that, these meetings would be history. We have a last meeting the next week. And incidentally, for those of you who are looking for the family series book, they are already available in the bookstore outside there. And we promise that we speed it up to release it. And three of them are available in the bookstore outside there in the family series. And one of the reasons we rushed it was because the Lord gave a dream one day. And in that dream, He spoke to me to hurry up on that book. I was working on other books. I wanted to finish the other bigger ones. He says, hurry up on this one. And I don't quite fully understand His instruction. But maybe because He knows a lot of mistakes are being made in the family area. And one of the books is how to find your life partner. So some of you are making a lot of mistakes in that area. And doesn't want you to make too many mistakes. Too many broken hearts afterwards. The book of Jude. And it's a very short chapter tonight. And we have discovered as we teach through the Bible in the general epistles, that as we come to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude, that they were not only just short little epistles that exhort people, they also have an eschatological content that we never saw before. In a similar way, the book of Jude is written with an eschatological perspective. Now, historically, the book of Jude was among the last few books that were written. Apparently, by Jude's time, a lot of the early saints and apostles have gone home to be with the Lord. And Jude is among those second generation type. And Jude is the half-brother of Jesus and the brother of James, the same James who wrote the book of James. And something was happening in the church. A lot of them were not as diligent in doctrine and in their zeal for God as the first generation. In fact, some of them have gone aside to errors and wrong doctrines. And so Jude historically wrote with a purpose to tell them, to encourage them, to press on, to hold fast and contend for the faith that was passed on down to their generation. Verse 3 of the book of Jude says, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So he exhorts them to contend for the faith that has been handed down to their generation. And that was the historical perspective. However, there is also an eschatological point of view in what Jude is speaking about. Towards the close of the church age, though the light will become brighter, but the darkness will become darker. And the gray line that is in between light and darkness will become smaller and smaller, thinner and thinner, until there is a thin line that divides between darkness and light, that so that you cannot stand in the fence. You're either in darkness or you're in light. There's no time left to stand on the fence. A lot of people are neither here nor there. But in the last days, if you're not with God, you're against God. In the last days, evil abounds. Good also abounds. Holiness increase. But the works of the enemy also increase. Why does it happen? For Satan knows that his time is short. Satan knows that his time is short, and hell was created for Satan and his demons and not for human beings. But Satan, in his evil, cruel way, knowing that he has to end up there, has to a certain extent succeeded in pulling human souls through his deception with him to bring them into hell with him. In the book of Revelations, we are told that God created hell for the devil and his angels. That is the fallen angels. Hell was never created as the abode of the human day. It was created for the enemy, not for humankind. However, and sadly, human beings have ignored God, ignored God's laws, and Satan has pulled human souls into that area. As we consider the book of Jude, we see that Jude also eschatologically speaks about a time of the last days when Satan will increase just as the Holy Spirit will increase. Every time God moves mightily, Satan seeks to stir up too against the move of God. The Bible is very clear that the end of the ages will be as in the days of Noah, where wickedness abounds. And we see it happening today. In just 50 years, some of the moral standards that were unacceptable long ago are now acceptable. Some of the things that were frowned upon by society as a whole are now socially acceptable. What they call sin, just about 50 years ago or so, they call it an alternative lifestyle. We've seen how society as a whole, without the teachings of God, the teachings from the Word, can go off tangent and produce an immoral society. Therefore, we need teaching from the Bible. We need people to be taught the Bible in order to raise up moral standards and be a light that shines clearly in the darkness of this age. There is no more half-half. It is just like a comparison between a revival that takes place in a tribal area and in the city area. It's totally different. There are more temptations in a city than in a tribal area. And in the seminary days, I was with tribal man from East Malaysia. And he was in a seminary with me, and we used to go travel to the north in Perlis to do our field work there and travel back together. And although it was a small little town, it had some cinemas and all those things. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't see cinemas at all, right? And I don't go for cinema shows. And definitely, there's no kung fu show or all that. And I was a little bit shocked when this brother who has seen angels talk to the Lord came back one night late, and I said, "Brother, where did you go?" He said, "Oh, I went to see the film." I said, "What film?" I mean, he's a seminary student. And I was brought up somehow in my background that we don't do that. And I realized that holiness is not what you do, but what you are. But there were some things that surprised me. Then I realized he doesn't face that choice in his little village. But in the city, we face that choice, and we have made that choice. And although they have a powerful revival in the tribal area, you bring a tribal person to live in the city, in 3 years, they may not be able to live up to their level. Because they face temptations that they never faced before. And although the revival in the city looks different, and we may look more sophisticated, yet, one of the things it produces is that if you're strong, you're really strong. If you're strong, you're really strong. You have been tested. It's just like I used to tell our American friends. I said, over there, immorality is blatantly advertised. And all kinds of sin and pornography and immorality and all kinds of things are available freely out there. And I say that when a Christian really choose to live the holy life over there, they really make a quality decision. When I went there, was it last year? I think it was last year. I stayed with an American family. And so I noticed that he has made a choice in his life. And he's not the average American family. No, he only watches Christian programs and does away with a lot of things that the average American family that doesn't know God would put up with. But yet, when he's faced with all these choices to be evil, when he chooses to be good, he really is good. And there's a stronger goodness about it. And let's put Christians who are in countries like ours where society is much morally better off in that sense, in that we have higher moral standards in our society, in our culture. And we could be a goody-goody Christian. And suddenly, you have an opportunity to go to the United States. You're a good Christian here. And then suddenly, for the first time, you're exposed to all kinds of sin. Your eyes go blurry. What do we say? Did you have a stronger Christianity? No. It showed that you did not really. You were shielded from those things. You were untested. In the same way, we realize that when evil abounds and we choose to be righteous, the righteousness is of a quality type. But where evil does not abound and you choose to be righteous, it could be culturally righteous. It is not only your choice, but it's the choice of those around you. And I was counseling this person one day who finds it so difficult to live a righteous life, always falling into sin. And I said, it is so much better to do right because we want to do right. You don't choose to do right because your sin has been found out. You don't choose to do right because people are around you, therefore you cannot do wrong, so you do right. That kind of righteousness does not live up to the standard that God wants us to have. So for that reason, in the last days, even though evil abounds when we choose to be good, the quality of goodness and righteousness is of a strong type. You have made a choice, a quality decision in God. And let's look at God's Word at some of the prophecies that will take place in the last days that Jude is eschatologically warning us about. And they are taken from the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 onwards. And Paul is talking about the last days.